I know during the holidays that time is a precious commodity. So I want to thank you for deciding that this is a good use of your time and for creating a space to come to this place where you know Jesus isn't just going to be acknowledged, but he's going to be adored and worshiped. And I'm grateful that that is a priority for you. And my trust is that you are going to be blessed. And I do want to wish for all of you the merriest of Christmases. For many people, and at many Christmases, it's just a season to reflect and rejoice at all of the good things that are going on in our lives right now. But for some people, and I would guess for all of us at some Christmases, it's a time to grasp and to grieve all the hard things that are going on in our lives right now. If you notice, in our part of the globe, we celebrate Christmas at the darkest season of the year. And there's just something about Christmas that can actually make the dark seem even darker. Think about the people in this world tonight who are living in lands that are ravaged by war. Maybe they've had to leave their home. Or maybe they do have a home, but their home has no power because the grid is out and it's cold and there's not much food. And even if you did get sick, there isn't a hospital to go to because it was bombed. That's going to be a very dark Christmas, but it's a reality for some. But let's get more personal, because I know that I'm talking to somebody right now, and this is the very first Christmas since the person that you have loved all your life has passed away. Or maybe this is the first Christmas since your parents divorced, and Christmas just isn't going to be the same anymore. Or maybe this is the first Christmas since you lost your job, or since the doctor called with those words that you didn't want to hear, it's malignant. And Christmas has a way of making the dark seem even darker. So we get together this time of year, and we retell this incredible story. And typically, we go to the Gospels of Matthew or Luke. We talk about the shepherds and the angels, and we sing songs about the manger. But for just a few moments, I want to take you to the Gospel of John, whose version of the Christmas story is summed up, I think, in one verse, verse 9 of chapter 1. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The word darkness is mentioned over 200 times in our Bible. Almost always it's used as a metaphor for pain or for suffering or even brokenness. And if you ever notice, life just seems to kind of drift in the direction of dark. Like the Christmas lights that I would take off of my tree every year, and I would put them, hopefully, neatly in a sack in our basement. And I don't know what happens in our basement during the year, but I pull them out a year later, and they are tangled and they're unusable. And life seems to drift in the direction of difficult and hard. God never had to say, "Let there be darkness." But when God was getting the world ready for you and me to live in, the very first good thing he did was provide light. Let there be light. And Christmas says you can't get too much of a good thing. And so when he sent the Son, I believe he said it again. You see, Christmas declares, let there be light. Christmas is heaven's assault on gloom. Now, we don't know exactly what time of year Jesus was born, or even for that matter, what time of day. But if you notice in all of the songs that we sing, we assume it was bright. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. There's something about this story that says to us, God just refuses to let you and I stay in the dark against our will. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 12. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus said, I have come to shine light, to help you see, to help you look at things in a completely new way. The most important thing of all, like, for example, who God is. You see, Jesus shines light on the reality of God. Heard this story of an elderly woman. She's downtown. She's standing at a street corner needing to cross the street, but she's afraid because traffic is very busy. And an attractive young man comes and he puts his hand in the crook of her elbow and said, may I cross the street with you? Oh, she's delighted. But then they take off and they zig and they zag and they almost get hit by three different cars. And when they finally get to the other side, she cannot believe what just happened. She says, you call that trying to help an old woman? You act as if you're blind. And he said, I am blind. That's why I asked you, may I cross the street with you? And that's the problem with trying to understand God. You're finite, and I'm finite. And we're trying to help each other understand the infinite. And what makes it even harder is this, that the scripture says, Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. There is a reason we have a hard time seeing who God is. But God is not intimidated by darkness or even by blindness. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus heals blind people more than any other kind of miracle that he performs. And he's actually the only one in the Bible that does it. You see, God's desire to be known is so intense, he put on flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians. It says in chapter 4, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. In Bethlehem, God is putting his person where his passion is. He wants us to know who he is. And that child that Mary put in the manger is the very first and the very last word on God. Christmas is I am saying, this is who I am. Now let that truth illumine every thought you have about God moving forward. You see, the good news is not just that Jesus is like God. The good news is God is like Jesus. Jesus is God's selfie. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. And what do you see? You see someone who walks in holiness. You see someone who walks in purity. And you see someone who treats every single person with dignity. Truly, he taught us to love one another. God is like Jesus. I've had conversations with people who say, I don't believe in God. And I'll ask, well, tell me about this God that you don't believe in. And after they're through, sometimes I would say, you know, I guess I'm an atheist as well because I can't believe in that God either. But let me tell you who I do believe in. I believe in the God who lives and loves like Jesus. Jesus has shed light on the reality of God, and because I can see God better, I'm able now to see me better. You see, Jesus shines light on the value of life. Now, I understand the whole Christmas story to some people might seem like nonsense, and maybe you have some mechanistic view of the universe. You believe that we're just a few billion years of evolved pond scum, that we're cosmic accidents, that we're not even supposed to really be here. And if that is your review, or that is your view, I can respect that, I suppose, but I do have a question, and every single person that holds this view has a hard time answering it. If all we are is matter, then why do any of us matter? And that's dark. And secular philosophers cannot bring any light to the inevitable conclusion that if this universe is just a machine, none of us have any intrinsic value. All of their attempts to say otherwise just come up against, says who? If you're just matter, then why does what you think matter? But the Christmas story points to a child in the manger, and it says God. That's who. Listen again, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So there is another worldview. And that worldview says that every square inch of the universe was created. It is not a machine. It is a creation. And it belongs to Jesus. It exists for Jesus. And it's valuable because of Jesus. And it starts with you and me. That Christmas is saying, you're not just matter, but you matter to God. Well, where did this whole idea that all lives matter come from? Jesus was born into a world that whole idea that all lives matter didn't even exist. It was nonsense. It was a given in the world of Jesus when he came that some lives matter and some lives don't. But today, you and I, we believe that all lives matter. And there's a reason that we believe that all lives matter. We believe it because of the teachings of an itinerant rabbi some 2,000 years ago named Jesus, because he changed the way that we look at how important people are, all people. I read recently the story about a woman named Olivia Satterfield Young. Olivia was born in Romania, and she was an orphan. You and I don't know a world like this, but she lived for the first 10 years of her life in an orphanage. And when she described what her life was like, it made me wince. Whatever clothes that she was wearing, she would have to wear a week at a time before she could change them. There was hardly ever any soap. They had one toothbrush for about 100 children. And the food, if there was food, typically was tasteless and mostly moldy. But then one Christmas, a group of Americans showed up, Operation Christmas Child, they called it, and they gave her and the other children a shoebox. And she opened up that box, and it was full of treasure, like toothpaste and a toothbrush and soap and hair braids, and even candy. And they said they were giving it to her because they loved her, and she could not compute. But it's like, I don't get an ounce of love a day where I'm at. Why would people across the world love me? But they explained, we love you because God loves you. Because God so loved the world, he sent his son, Jesus. And she, as a 10-year-old girl, fell in love with that story. That there's a love out there that has her name on it. And eventually, Olivia was adopted by a nice Christian family in America. And today, Olivia goes all the way back to Romania every Christmas, and she gives little girls shoeboxes, and she tells them the words that she needed to hear so much. You are loved by God. That's why you matter. We sing it. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. True worth is not going to be found in anything you put under a tree. It is found in a God who was willing to be put on a tree to rescue you. And he died on that tree. But he was not a victim of darkness. He was a victor over darkness, because in paying for our sins in that death, he freed us from the prison of sin and death. It says in 2 Timothy 1, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. So when God made the world, he said, let there be light. And when he sent the baby to the manger, he said, let there be light. And when they put his body in a dark tomb, God waited 3 days, and then he said, let there be light. And he came back from the dead. And now, John says, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And maybe what some of you need to hear more than anything else right now is this, is that Jesus shines a light on the future of darkness. Because presently, it kind of feels like darkness is dominating. And the prince of darkness wants us to believe it's never going to get any brighter. But because of Christmas, we can view all the hard things we're dealing with right now in a brand new light. We know that Jesus came the first time to be our source of comfort and strength in the midst of the darkness. And we know that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to throw the darkness into hell forever. He's preparing a place for you and me right now. And I looked at that city at the end of Revelation. And it says in chapter 21, the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Christian, I don't care how dark it is right now. Your future is very, very bright. And I believe that remembering that can sustain us when the present is so dark. About 10 years ago, I read a story about a little boy in a small town in Illinois. His name was Dax. Dax was 2 years old. He had leukemia. He had already had 2 bone marrow transplants, and early in the fall, the doctors sat down with his parents and said Dax was only going to live 4 to 6 more weeks. And they remembered the Christmas before, even though Dax could not completely understand what was going on, that he loved all the lights. And since he wasn't going to make it until Christmas, they determined to bring Christmas to him. And so even though it was early in the fall, they put up a Christmas tree and they put lights on the outside of their house. And they decided they were going to take a trip, probably their last trip ever as a family. And when they came back, their neighbors who knew what was going on had put up lights on their houses, on their whole street. In fact, before long, that little town found out and everyone in town began putting up lights early. Little Dax, he lived until December 29th. He did see Christmas again. And his mom and dad would tell you that what sustains you in your darkest hours is your faith. That Jesus has shed light on life and immortality. And that darkness doesn't get to have the last word. Christmas reminds us God isn't going to leave you in the dark. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Can you see it? Can you see the light that's coming? He said at creation, let there be light. And at the birth of Jesus, he sent the light. And at the resurrection, he set that light free. And he's coming again to declare, let there be light one more time. And so we gather in the darkest season of the year. And we retell this story. And we light candles. And it's a beautiful tradition. It's a nice tradition. But it's more than that. It's a declaration. We light candles to rebuke the lie that it's never going to get better than this. We light candles to encourage each other. Keep hope alive. We light candles to declare that God is real, that God is love, that people have value. All people. And we light these candles to declare that the King is coming again. And darkness doesn't stand a chance. Would you stand up? I want to pray over you. Dear God, we believe the story. We believe that you are real and that you are love. And we believe that Jesus is your son. And we believe he came born of a virgin, placed in a manger. And that baby, he grew into a man and he lived a sinless life. And he was the perfect substitute for sinful people. And on that cross, he delivered us from our unrighteousness and has covered us with his. He came out of that tomb. He conquered death. He ascended and he's now at your right hand and he's preparing a place for us. And he's returning and we are going home. And so, light of the world, please come quickly because we are so ready to be done with the dark. We pray all this on Christmas Eve in Jesus' name. Amen.